Hey, Tara Strong here, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
What are you snickering, floppy-eared hound? When courage is needed, you're never around. Those medals you wear on your moth-eaten chest should be there for bungling at which you are best. So stop the pigeon, 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 stop the pigeon. It's not worth a chance, for you'll be returned by the seat of your pants. And plump, you invent me a thingamabob that catches that pigeon, or I lose my job. So, stop the pigeon, 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 stop the pigeon,
Hello and welcome to the 29th episode of Tooncast Beyond, brought to you by the GeekCast Radio Network and Audible.com. I am one of your hosts, Steve Drew and Mike, and today I am joined once again by Optimus Solo. Hello.
The one and only.
Yes. The missing link. Today we are jumping back into the DeLorean for another Tooncast Beyond DeLorean Time episode, where they're heading set for 1969, when we will be talking about Dastardly and Muttley.
Woohoo! We're spinning off.
Yes.
Rise of Fresh. Rise of Fresh. Reminds me of you.
That's where I actually got my whole trail off. Like, when I'll be ranting about somebody, and then I'll be like, you know, I'll be talking, and I'll just go, stupid son of a stupid mother. So that's where I got it from, was Muttley.
Your good old rant.
Yes, that's right.
Either love it or you hate it. No, I'm just kidding.
Yes. So for the history lesson, take it away.
Dastardly and Muttley. Technically, I guess you can call it Dastardly and Muttley and their flying machines.
Right.
It's a Hanna-Barbera cartoon that usually played on CBS, of course. Originally, the series was broadcast on Saturday mornings, but eventually, obviously, it was rerun and syndicated in all kinds of different days. But if you were watching it in its original form, you were watching it on Saturday morning. The show focuses on the efforts of Dick Dastardly and his canine sidekick, Muttley, to catch Yankee Doodle Pigeon, which is one of the weirdest character names ever. A carrier pigeon who carries secret messages. The cartoon was a combination of Red Baron era Snoopy, Wacky Races, and the film Those Magnificent Men in Their Flying Machines. Obviously, these two characters are spin-offs from the show Wacky Races, which we just talked about
last week.
The show is widely known as Stop the Pigeon, based on the show's original working title and the show's theme song, written by Hanna-Barbera. It repeats the phrase Stop the Pigeon frequently, so that's why sometimes you hear it called that instead of Dastardly and Muttley. The show is kind of unique because it only had two voice actors, Paul Winchell and Don Messick. So they are doing all of the characters, and each 22-minute show was broadcast over a half hour on the network, including network breaks. It was kind of, sometimes you had different things. You had usually the format was you had two Dastardly and Muttley stories and one Magnificent Muttley story, which was kind of Muttley's little daydreams or whatnot. And then you had two or three shorts, Wingdings, which were brief gags that broke up the longer section. So that was kind of the format for it. So what do you remember about Dastardly and Muttley?
Oh my God.
Besides Muttley's
voice. I love this show. This is so awesome.
I don't know if I mentioned, but it was on for, I believe, 34 episodes, cool. If I'm remembering right.
Cool. You said earlier, you know, they're out to stop Yankee Doodle Pigeon from from carrying secret messages back and forth. Now, is it just me, or are they saying Dick Dastardly is a Nazi? Okay, maybe not World War II, but
could be a communist.
The only thing I can think of is, yeah, it could be Cold War. The only thing I can think of is like World War II, or, you know, yeah. I mean,
I just always wanted him to bust out. He's a Yankee Doodle Pigeon.
Think of like the Civil War, like, you know, the blue and the gray, really. So yeah. I guess it'd be Civil War, not World War II. Yeah, it'd be Civil War. Sorry, I totally screwed that up. Civil War, where Yankee Doodle Pigeon is the Union, and Dick Dastardly and crew are the Confederates.
That's a good scenario there. I did always want him to sing Yankee Doodle Pigeon.
Three Stooges shorts.
What's that?
I was flashing to Three Stooges shorts when I was watching this, and there are a couple Three Stooges shorts where the Stooges are, you know, roped into being Confederates, or they're working for the Union. So that's where I was kind of.
Yeah, I remember these characters. I don't necessarily remember watching the show and the format of the show as a kid, but I do remember the characters from this, from different things that they showed up in Hanna-Barbera. But like I said, I wouldn't have been able to tell you that there was, you know, two or three segments and Wingdings, and
right.
I wouldn't have been able to name the rest of the crew, which we'll get to in a minute, or even tell you much about the format. But the most memorable part of this show is the two characters and the iconic voices that carried these two characters.
Oh yes.
You know, Paul Winchell's Dick Dastardly is iconic, and Don Messick is hilarious as Muttley in this. It's not necessarily like, I wouldn't say it's really one of his iconic voices, because there's not a lot of dialogue, but it's so hilarious how he pulls it off.
I would say it is iconic. I would argue that because he has.
I think it's iconic. I don't know if it's his iconic voices. It's one of his iconic.
Well, here's the thing. I would say it is one of his iconic voices simply because everybody remembers the Muttley mumble about resin, Rick Rastardly, and they always remember the laugh. Now, I was watching. I'll actually put it in the post if it's still available by the time this episode airs. I was watching a 20-minute video that someone put on YouTube, which was combined shorts, or, you know, mm-hmm. It was one whole episode or whatever. It was one, whatever it was. But in that episode, throughout the episode, the general of whatever army that Dastardly is working for will call him. And sometimes it'll be an actual phone. Sometimes this last time that I'm going to be referencing here was actually a shoe phone.
Nice.
Or it came out of Dastardly's foot, or it came out of his leg somehow. I don't know. Muttley got the phone, and Muttley's like, "Hello?" So the reason why I say Muttley is one of Messick's iconic voices is because Muttley is essentially Scooby and Astro combined.
Yeah, I can see that. But yeah, just the two of them are so memorable just for the way that they are portrayed, and the sounds, the voices, the laughs, and everything about that. And it makes everything else just kind of gravy on top.
Oh, yeah, so much. And, you know, this team of Dastardly, Muttley, Zilly, and Clunk, just amazing. Where Clunk is the one that goes, beep, rah, blah,
he's a gadget man. Blah, blah,
blah, and Zilly has to translate for him, because every time Clunk talks, Dastardly like, what'd he say?
Yeah. Well, sometimes I've seen a couple episodes where he somehow can understand him.
He sometimes does talk.
It's like nobody else does, but all of a sudden he does. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you're kind of getting right into the characters then. I mean,
right.
Obviously, we have the crew here, which is the Vulture Squadron, which is what we're talking about, which is Dick Dastardly, who's the leader, obviously. You got Muttley, who's the canine sidekick. And then you have Zilly and Clunk. Now, Clunk is kind of like the designer, the gadget man, inventor, so to speak. But obviously, yeah, he can't speak. And so his buddy Zilly there, who is like the most timid, scared, antisocial, like, I don't even know what you want to call it. He's
a fraidy cat.
He's afraid of everything.
Yeah.
He often like has his head go into his body or
his
outfit.
Jacket, yeah.
Yeah. And then you had the Yankee Doodle Pigeon, which is what we talked about, which is like the homing pigeon that's carrying a mailbag, presumably American, whereas these other guys are presumably some type of evil group. Like you said, we can't really quite tell.
Right.
And then the general, which you never see, but he's the one giving the orders and does the classic, you know, sometimes this is going to explode in 2 minutes after you read it, or
right,
different yeah. things. There's always some type of gag with the phone or with the call. It's not always the same thing, but it always leads to some type of weird nonsense. And then occasionally seen was Muttley's girlfriend.
Yeah.
I didn't see her in any of the episodes I watched, but
I didn't either.
Basically, I've seen pictures of her before, and it basically just looks like the female version of Muttley.
Yeah.
Who's also voiced by Don Messick. So those are your characters.
It's Muttley and drag.
Right. It basically, that's what it looks like. And I don't know about you. I just think every one of these characters adds to the fact that, I mean, you have Dastardly and Muttley who can carry the show by themselves.
Yeah.
And then you have all these fun little flavors to throw on top of it. Like, you got the scaredy zilly, you got the, you know, can't speak clunk, you got this pigeon that can basically outsmart all of them.
Yeah.
And then you have the random general causing problems by giving orders and having weird things happen. It's just like a excellent ensemble.
Yeah.
Do you have any characters totally you don't agree. Like?
No. Oh, no. Not at all.
Yeah, I mean, not there's nothing...
I love... This era of, like, not counting, you know, our fandoms of Transformers and He-Man and Voltron and Thundercats and Mask and all the 80s, not just don't even count the 80s, just pretend the 80s never happened, even though they did, thank God. But if it was just these cartoons and the Scooby cartoons and the Looney Tunes cartoons and all that, and Tom and Jerry and all that stuff, I love all of these cartoons.
And the reason people love these cartoons is because basically it was back when the actual writing mattered.
Right.
Like, you actually had to write a good cartoon. You had to have clever dialogue. You had to have plots. You had to have all this stuff. It was before it became about the flash and bang and the animation and the smoke and mirrors type stuff. Like, right. Like, it seems to have nowadays, it's like all about, ooh, who can look the prettiest or who has the best action sequences or this or that. And a lot of the writing and the plots and the dialogue has been lost over the years. And that's just something that's awesome about these classic era cartoons.
Yeah.
They knew they had limited, you know, visual, you know, animation. They had limited technology to work with, and it had to be carried by the meat and the potatoes of it.
So. Right, and it didn't need an over dramatic plot. I mean, you know, you only have to really watch outside of like the mini segments, like a standard Dastardly and Muttley episode.
Right.
You only have to watch one of these episodes to get what all 34 are about.
Well, yeah. But there's something genius in being able to do that 34 times and make it seem like you're watching something different each time. Like, you have to come up with so many gags and so many misdirections and practical jokes and stuff like that. And, like, a lot of people, if they tried to do that today, it would just look like everybody would be like, that's just the same thing over and over and over again. But when you watch this back in the day, you didn't think that. You know, that's something, if someone says that, that's somebody watching it in retrospect. You know, that's somebody looking back at it and doing their, oh, we got to poo-poo everything that was done back in the day. But if you were watching this back when, 1969, every episode was new and fun for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So even though it's the same formula, it's like the genius of being able to do it differently somehow.
And you even know? Rerunning the stuff in the 80s when we would have seen it, you know, it was new to us, obviously. You know what I mean? So... And it was one of those things where, honestly, Dastardly and Muttley is that it has a formula, but it doesn't feel formulaic. You know what I mean?
Right.
And honestly, I would say the one cartoon that I would compare this to that is out now is Phineas and Ferb. I know that's going to sound weird, but Phineas and Ferb has a similar sort of format where each thing has a gag, they add something new or they do something different in every episode, but it's the same formula over and over and over again. Yeah. But they change it up, they make it new, they make it different, you know, they do all these different things. But I absolutely love this show. I don't know how anyone would ever be able to say something negative about this show. I mean, look at this, you know... Look at this voice cast. This
all two
is
of them.
Probably right. Well, that's what I was going to get to. I mean, this is the smallest voice actor cartoon I have ever seen, but they play the most characters. I mean, you know, Paul Winchell plays Dastardly General and others, so how many, you know, how many others are actually, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Messick plays Muttley, Clunk, Zilly, Yankee Doodle Pigeon, Narrator, and others. Essentially, this is going over the 80s standard of, hey, we'll pay you for three voices. I mean, look at Messick. That's one, two, three. That's like five, six. No, that's like five or six voices plus whatever the others is. You know what I mean? It's,
yeah,
it's just amazing. And every single voice is different.
Yep. And that's what's also genius about some of those classic voice actors, the ability to change their voice so much. But it's just, you know, I mean, you can't, the only way you could have less is if you have a one-man show, basically. So we're at a bare minimum of voice actors, and their ability to talk to themselves and talk to each other and play off each other. I mean, you got to realize that half the time these guys are talking to themselves.
Yeah.
So, you know, the only really time, I mean, cause the general only really talks to Dick Dastardly.
Right.
So that's Winchell talking to himself.
Essentially. Yes.
And you know, I know Dick Dastardly is sometimes talking to the rest of them, but you know, Clunkzilly and all those guys are Messick. So it's like, there's a lot of just genius of how they pulled it off and made each character sound slightly different. And Paul Winchell is just one of my all time favorites. So almost anything he does is golden.
Yeah,
I'm not taking anything away from Don Messick, obviously. Well, right, he's one of the top three of all time.
I understand. I honestly would like to, you know how we always say we would love to be a fly on the wall at a voice session, whether it's, you know, whether it's Animaniacs or,
right,
you know, Batman the Animated Series, Justice League, whatever, nowadays, you know, Transformers Prime, whatever. I want to know what the voice sessions were like in 1969. When the two of them, was it a video game session where each one of them came in, did their voices, and left? Or was it the two of them sitting in a room?
That's not how they usually did things back then.
Well,
back then it would, no, I'm saying as far as one of them coming in and then leaving, most of the time in the classic era, they're all in the studio at the same time.
Right, right.
It was before we got to the point where you could come in and do your shtick and get out of there.
Right.
Talk about being a fly on the wall. We'll talk about that next week, but because that would be one where I'd want to be a fly on the wall.
But
the other thing, talking about these voice actors real quickly, was the amount of kind of not just cool voice acting, but they had some iconic phrasing and lines and stuff like that, especially Muttley.
Oh,
You know, with the sassafresa or acid, you know, Chickenzilly, yeah, you know, whatever. There was just some key phrases and lines used over and over again that they really did cool and really made it memorable. Drat and Double Drat for Dick Dastardly.
Yeah.
He says that over and over again. Muttley's snickering. You know, there was just certain things that you just
I
wanted to hear
the
over
chemistry
and over again.
Between the two of them. Between Dastardly and Muttley. Because essentially it's man's best friend. I love the chemistry between the two of them because Muttley will do something, whatever it is, or he'll laugh at something that has happened to Dick Dastardly, and Dastardly is like, Muttley, give me your medals. No.
Yeah, he loved his medals.
You know, he'll come up and apologize, and Dastardly's like, that's better. That's, you know, it's kind of like, that's what I thought you said. You know.
Yeah. He always loves his medals and go crazy for it. I forgot the other thing about the general too. There was sometimes where you'd actually see an arm come out of the phone.
Yeah.
His whole arm would come out of the phone, and like, you know, whether it was like knocking, you know, bopping Dick Dastardly in the head or
right,
taking something or something like that. That was always cool when you see his arm pop out of the phone. Just like another classic character that you're always like, what does he look like?
Yeah. But you didn't need to know what the general looked like.
No, but I'm just saying, it's just one of those that you're always
right.
Like
right.
The nanny from the Muppet Babies.
Kind of leaves you wondering, yeah.
Yeah,
you know, the thing with Dastardly and Muttley is, well, with Muttley specifically, that video I was mentioning earlier shows an episode where that scene happens that I just described about, Muttley, give me your medal. I'm taking it away because of whatever he did.
Mm-hmm.
And Muttley bursts into tears. And Muttley hands it over. But you kind of see, as Dastardly's walking away, Muttley attached a string to his medal. So, yoink!
Yeah.
And he cut himself.
Right.
It's just so enjoyable. I can watch these cartoons over and over and over again. I know I mentioned this earlier a few minutes ago. The same thing with Looney Tunes with Tom, like Looney Tunes, for example. They show Cartoon Network today shows the Looney Tunes shorts at from 6 to 6:30 a.m. Eastern and noon to 1 p.m. Eastern every Monday through Friday. And I love just watching the old Looney Tunes cartoons. Half the time, sometimes if I'm tired, I'll end up falling asleep to those, and I'll wake up in the middle of Tom chasing Jerry. It's just, it's such fun watching these classic cartoons.
Yeah. And another part of this show, like we mentioned kind of briefly in the intro, was the Magnificent Muttley clips, which were about 3 minutes long. Like we said, they were Muttley daydreaming.
Yeah.
And he would basically imagine himself in different situations or pretending to be certain characters. Some of the biggest ones, Davy Crockett, he pretended to be Leonardo da Vinci, Tarzan, or just general stuff like an astronaut or a magician or a superhero. So that was always kind of funny and kind of had the interesting verse spoken by Dastardly. They had like their individual intro, which is kind of cool for this 3 minute segment. And he would say, "Wake up, Muttley, you're dreaming again. You're not Robin Hood and you're not Gunga Din. You're not a brave knight or a king who's been crowned. You're just plain old Muttley, the snickering hound." And then it would, you know, go into the Magnificent Muttley segment. And those were cool.
Yes, but to note here, several TV stations objected to Gunga Din because of the stereotype and was replaced and re-recorded by Winchell using the name of Commodore, which showed Muttley in a sea captain's uniform with a captain's hat.
But that doesn't rhyme, so that's not cool.
No, that doesn't rhyme at all.
You know, the plots for each one, outside of the Magnificent Muttley, I mean, the plots are basically the same as far as the other part of it. You know, they're trying to catch Yankee Doodle Pigeon. Mm-hmm. They come up with some type of contraption or new planes or new blah, blah, blah. And they try to catch him and the pigeon outsmarts him. Like, that is the plot for every episode. But like I said before, it's written in a way that makes each one unique and each one full of different gags that you've never seen before. And then it's just cool that they add the Magnificent Muttley and the Wingdings around it.
Yeah. I don't know how often, or if you even remember watching them, but I don't know how often you pay attention to the credits on the Looney Tunes shorts. I do because I want to see who the writer was to make sure that I know which director it was before the directors pop up and says, "Oh, this is directed by this." I don't know how often you pay attention to that, but supposedly Michael Maltese, who wrote many of the original Roadrunner shorts, is also credited as a writer on Wacky Races, The Perils of Penelope Pitstop, and Dastardly and Muttley. I think that's one of the reasons why I enjoy Dastardly and Muttley so much, is because it's Michael Maltese as the writer. Now, he worked a lot of Chuck. He worked with Chuck Jones a lot. I mean, him and Chuck Jones were like, you know, joined at the hip when it came to cartoons. And I absolutely love his way of storytelling and his jokes and everything else. Just amazing.
Well, and the other reason, too, that you were probably thinking that this was some type of a World War era is because that's where the planes are coming from. The planes are all first World War One planes, basically.
Right.
So that's why it has that kind of feel to it.
Right, yeah.
So that makes sense. There was basically 16. I guess there were 16 episodes, but then, since there was two per each one, you basically had 34 Dastardly and Muttley segments.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but 16 or 17 total, I guess 17 total episodes.
Right.
So that's why there's 17 segments of Mr. Muttley daydreaming, and then there's 34 of the actual flying machine ones. So all wrapped up in 17 great packages.
Yeah. And very, very awesome. What about the music in this? I love the music.
I mean, the music is Hanna-Barbera. It's classic. It's what you hear on a lot of them. You know, it's probably Hoyt Curtin. you know, it's cool. And especially in this one, because there are times where there's a void in dialogue. You know, there are times where they're doing a chase or they're doing some type of trick or this or that. Or you're dealing with Muttley, who doesn't really speak too many words, or you're dealing with Klunk, who doesn't really speak.
Right.
So the music really does a good job of kind of aiding that and complementing those spaces, so it doesn't ever feel like it's dragging.
I totally agree. I absolutely love the music. Getting into the legacy segment here, in popular culture, we got a couple of bits. I'll take the first one, you can take the second one. Although the Wacky Races series is never mentioned, and being set present day would not take place for decades, the Mean Machine can be seen in all of the episodes of The Magnificent Muttley. That's interesting.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. The Stop the Pigeon theme song was covered along with the theme music from Johnny Quest by the rockabilly band Reverend Horton Heat in the 1995 compilation album Saturday Morning Cartoons Greatest Hits. The series was sponsored also by Kellogg's Breakfast Cereals in its original run, and the characters appeared in several commercials for the cereal companies, which was not uncommon for that time period.
No. In the episode of Yogi's Treasure Hunt entitled Yogi's Heroes, in which Yogi Bear and Dick Dastardly were the leaders of warring nations, Dastardly tortured all of Yogi's friends by forcing them to watch episodes of Dastardly and Muttley in their flying machines until the victims were incapable of doing anything more than stumbling around and repeatedly chanting, "Stop the Pigeon."
Hanna-Barbera geniuses.
Oh, God. So awesome.
As far as where some, most people probably caught this, you know, not live Saturday mornings back in 1969. After its original CBS run, it was shown in syndicated reruns on local stations throughout the 70s and 80s. And then sometimes there was some episodes that sneaked on to VHS tape. As far as DVD goes, Warner Home Video released the complete series on Region 1 DVD on May 10th, 2005. So it's the complete series, 17 episodes, all in one nice, tidy box. And it also includes commentary on a couple episodes, the Vulture Squadron's Greatest Misses, Watch the Pigeon Thwart the Vulture Squadron, that's a special feature, and then Dastardly and Muttley's spin-offs retrospective. So there's three different special features on that. So that's not a bad set to have. You can get basically the whole thing in one swoop.
Yeah, very awesome.
I might have to add that to my collection.
Yes. I so want that. That would be so awesome to have. All right, we are going to take a break. You're going to hear some commercials and some other Dastardly and Muttley goodness, and we'll be back after this.
Muttley, stop polishing your medal and pay attention. Sassafrasif, rassif, frassif, rat, rastardly. Watch that. That's better.
You can now hear the Geekcast Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free use and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear Geekcast Radio, you'll have a chance to win money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. During registration, hit the promo code box and enter Geekcast Radio, all one word, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episodes of the shows will be waiting for you in your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code Geekcast Radio when you register.
Do you like retro shows? Did you grow up in either the 80s or the 90s? Then tune into Telecast, GeekCastRadio.com's newest podcast. Join us here on the Telecast as we revisit some of your favorite shows, such as Clarissa Explains It All, Salute Your Shorts, Saved by the Bell, and much, much more, only on GeekCastRadio.com.
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, what's up, Ryan?
You know how we talked about doing a podcast? Well, I have some ideas run past you.
Yeah, what do you got?
I thought we should base it on comics.
Well, there's thousands of podcasts about comics. You kind of want to narrow it down a bit.
Well, what about Star Wars?
Still, there's a ton of those out there. What else you got?
We could always do G.I. Joe comics.
There's still a ton of those out there.
What about the 80s franchises?
There's already a few of those as well.
Then let's forget about comics. Let's focus on toys and action figures.
Dude, then we're back to thousands of podcasts.
Well, is anyone covering all those things I mentioned in one podcast?
No one would be crazy enough to do that.
Then that's what we'll do.
Are you serious?
Yep. Come and listen to Star Joe's podcast. You can find us at starjoes.com or find us on iTunes.
Yeah, we cover comics, TV shows, and movies based on Star Wars, G.I. Joe, and all your 80s favorite franchises.
And don't forget about the toys.
How can we forget about the toys? We also do toy reviews to help you decide what to add to your collection.
So come listen to Star Joes, where we hold nothing back, provide quality entertainment, and remember, the Force will be with you.
Because knowing us is half the battle.
Yo, Joe!
Oh, no airplane. Muttley, do something! I'll give you another medal! Over here, Bubblehead! You will get no medal for catching me on the bounce.
We are back, and for you, the listeners of TuneCast Beyond, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. Use audibletrial.com/geekcastradio. So, final thoughts on Dastardly and Muttley.
I think it's kind of like sometimes one of the forgotten Hanna-Barbera cartoons. We didn't really talk about that at all in the episode, but I think, you know, people think Hanna-Barbera and they think of the original, like, Huckleberry Hound, and they think of Yogi Bear and, you know, Grape Ape, or they maybe think of Snagglepuss or some of those other ones. I think a lot of times people forget about not only Wacky Races and Laugh Olympics and some of those later compilation shows, but then there was these other ones that kind of came with that, like Dastardly and Muttley, that sometimes I think just get forgotten. Which is a shame, because it's just so good. And it's something that's a little bit different for Hanna-Barbera. You know, we kind of made the comparison with the writer there, Michael Maltese. It is kind of the Roadrunner Wile E. Coyote of Hanna-Barbera. You know, because for most of the other Hanna-Barbera cartoons, the plots are completely different. You know,
right.
You know, Yogi Bear is trying to get picnic baskets, or, you know, there's a different basic premise. They don't really have that straight up chase where right. It's just one person trying to catch one person over and over and over again. And that Dastardly and Muttley did that very successfully. And I think it's enough different than Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner that it makes it a really cool addition to anybody's Hanna-Barbera library. And, you know, anybody that likes those classic cartoons should check out this cartoon, because they're missing something if they haven't seen it.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think my thoughts would be any different than that. I have to say, though, sadly, you know, I mentioned the comparison to Looney Tunes earlier in the show. When I watch Looney Tunes today, I focus on the main characters: Bugs, Daffy, Sylvester, Tweety, right. Porky, all of those. I actually put my TV on mute and come out here to the computer when the Roadrunner cartoons are on, because, well, as a kid, I used to love them.
Yeah.
You know, every time you knew he was going down the cliff, or you knew something was going to happen. Now, when I watch the Roadrunner cartoons from the classic Looney Tunes shorts, I just don't find myself laughing anymore as I used to.
Well, and this one I think is easier to stomach for a lot of people these days, or right. would be, because you do have some dialogue. You do have
right.
Some verbal interaction, and it makes the characters a little deeper. Whereas Roadrunner and Coyote, you know, it's always on mute, basically. It's just the music driving that nonstop. Right. And I think that's hard for, you know, if you just took like a random kid, I think even though they're going to be more exposed to Coyote and Roadrunner because it's on TV, they would actually enjoy this better, I think.
Mm. Yeah.
And I'm not trying to take away anything, because I love Roadrunner and Coyote and I love those segments, but
I think this is almost better. I love the nostalgia of those, watching them as a kid, but
this is more watchable.
Yeah, this is way...
And it's really not that dated.
No. Not at all. I mean,
a lot of people just
the only thing that really dates the series is the fact that the planes, the style of the airplanes, right. and the fact that they're in like a civil war.
Right. But I mean, as far as like the actual, you know, there's not references that kids won't get. It's just good old, like, we're trying to catch you, and there's hijinks and stuff. And I think that's ageless. And a lot of people like to put, you know, just see any old cartoon and be like, oh, it's dated or whatever. But this one definitely is not.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thank you for joining us here on TuneCast Beyond. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can leave the shows, or you can leave comments on each of the posts over there. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is Tooncast Beyond. Mine is TFG on Mike. What is your Twitter?
My Twitter, be Optimus Solo. I think somebody died near you or in your vicinity. Is the world ending?
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradionetwork. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. You can also, if you have a USB microphone or headset, do this through the website. On the right-hand side, there is a button that says Send Voicemail. Please note, there is a five-minute time limit on that site voicemail thing. We've had a couple of voicemails over on Masked Mayhem where the person got cut off because they were talking way too long. We hope you enjoyed this trip back in time here on Tooncast Beyond, and wish you'll join us next time when we'll be traveling to 1977 with the Laugh Olympics. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
the one and only Optimus Solo.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
What the fuck is a samoflange?
Now what went wrong?
This is it, sports fans, participants even. Television's greatest array of stars, Laugh Olympics, presents the round-the-world triple-team competition between the Yogi Yahooies, the Scooby-Doobies, and the Really Rottens. The players are on the field, in the stadium even, so let's get on with it. Laugh Olympics.